Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see some familiar faces and many that are new faces to me. Now, some of those new faces may be faces that I should remember, but because of the changes you've made in this journey, I may not recognize you. If I do, forgive me. But it's a blessing to be here this morning. There's been a central thought through several of the testimonies and the things that fit right in with the thought that's on my heart this morning. And if you'd like to turn with us, I want to read two verses in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Fifth chapter of Ephesians with the 16th verse and 17th. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Before I go further, I want to back up and remind us of why we have the opportunity to be here. Not just that God permitted this morning, but church history is a special interest of mine, and I want to give God glory and honor for the work that's been done. Back in the early 50s, Brother W.T. England, a member of Red Lick Missionary Baptist Church, felt come to Columbus, Indiana. And as a result of that, Friendship was organized in about 1952. And then we marched forward and from the work there in 1962, we have Friendship given members for the organization of New Life. And then in 64, we have Friendship given members for the organization of Hall Creek. And then in 76, we have Friendship given members for the organization of Freedom over at Letts. And we back up a little bit and we find that New Life gave the arm for the work at Salem Missionary Baptist Church over in Bargersville, Indiana, back in the late 60s. In fact, there was a fellowship service in a rented building, an old church building, that they had when they were a mission. Brother Lewis Holland was carrying on the mission work. And a little kid come up from Bowling Green to visit some family. And they were going to that fellowship service. So he went. And the house was full. There wasn't even room. When they called for altar prayer, about five rows back from the altar area, as close as you could get to the altar, it was that full. And I remember the Lord saying, when we got done, at least you could say it's been good to be here. That was the first service I was in after the Lord called me to preach. And I didn't intend to say anything about that. But when I come to myself, the Lord had taken care of that. So you look at Bargersville was a mission at that time, Salem was, and it was organized. So then we look at that from Brother W.T. England's following the Lord. We have five churches, Friendship, Hall Creek, New Life, Freedom, and Salem. Now I'd like to see the hands of those that have been saved as a result of the labors of any of those churches. Yeah. And you probably have a lot of family that have been saved as a result of the labors of those churches. You see, there was a need to redeem the time. Brother England felt like that it was needful. And he was one of the ones that went with the members that organized Hall Creek. I remember Brother England being an elderly man. But he was still laboring for the Lord. And I look back over the years and some of the pastors that I remember, Brother Mike Froge, very dear to me, one I've always considered as a father in the ministry, one I've dearly loved. He was always plain spoken and to the point. I remember one time getting out of the car and I thought I was cute. Had a little sign on the car, said, "The devil made me do it." He looked at me and he said, "The devil never made anybody do anything." And he's right. It's when we, after being tempted, follow after the temptation, and that sin ensues. Brother Lewis Holland, I mentioned, he pastored here. Brother Don Watts, Brother Bryce White, Brother Leonard Lay, Brother Rick Huskins, Brother Brad Foster, Brother Jeff Jonathan Elliott, just recently. You look back and I'm sure I've missed some, but I want you to consider the time Brother Danny Edwards, and I think Brother Garnett also pastored. Brother Clavis pastored. I'm not sure if Brother Alvin did or not. But I wanted you to think of some of those. And I look over John Thompson, Chris Jones, some of the ones that I missed there, just going by memory. But also, I want you to think about, here's some of the ones that have been ordained ministers that have been ordained by friendship or received as ordained. Brother Alvin Caffey, Brother Clavis Caffey, Garnet Edwards, Brother Mike Froge, and Brother Mike Froge came from Moore Spring. Brother Danny Edwards, Brother Don Watts, Gordon Harper, myself, and I may have missed some. But then I want you to consider the deacons that have served friendship. Brother Alvin Caffey, Brother Ansel Coomer, Brother Garnet Edwards, Esker McHugh, Reuben England, Brother Billy Bean, Chester Caffey, James Stevens, Brother Bud Thompson, C.L. Salzman, Merle Livesay, Mark Coomer, Jeff Thompson. And again, I may have missed some, but these are some of the efforts that, because that Brother England saw the need of following the Lord. You see the heritage as you go back and you begin to look at these things. You look at the many people that had, there have been many people that have been saved from the efforts of the labor here and at New Life and Hall Creek and Freedom and Salem. There have been many that have been reached outside the walls of the churches. You don't have to be inside the church for God to reach down and touch your heart and make you to know that you need Him. I want to turn over in Colossians, 4th chapter, 2nd verse. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, I want you to go back and think now. My theme is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. You know, we find one place where that Christ said, my time is not yet come, speaking to the apostles, the disciples. And he said, but your time is always ready. And he was speaking of his time, going to the crucifixion, his death. What he was really saying is that your time could happen at any time. In other words, your time of departure, your time of death. We do not have a promise of tomorrow, nor did the disciples. What we do have, though, is Christ and him crucified. And he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And while that there is breath, while there is life, let his love and his mercy and his grace be an example in our lives and our journey. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bounds. Paul was speaking, pray that the door of opportunity will open. That's something that we need to do not only for the preachers, but we need to pray for each and every one, that the door of opportunity would open for us, that we might tell our neighbor, our kinfolk, our acquaintances, about a genuine experience of salvation. Amen. And I say genuine because there are some experiences you can have that you might think are salvation that aren't. Had one of those when I was 11 years old. Joined the church. Lost as a goose in a snowstorm. But the Lord got a hold of me. I was a bookworm and God used that, and I would read and if that's right, then something's wrong with me. You see, God is merciful. But when God saves an individual, he reaches down and he transforms that inner soul. He changes that which is on the inside. Yeah, we continually make mistakes in this journey. But the Lord has preserved that which is on the inside. He said that he would put the deposit of his spirit in our soul. You know, you put out earnest money when you're going to purchase something. The Lord made a purchase of us. And there is yet coming a great homecoming. We might think of it as homegoing. There is a great time coming when that those that are dead and that are in the graves, they'll come forth. When the Lord returns, those that have been saved by his grace, they'll come forth a glorified body. You see, the Lord wants us to redeem the time, to find those doors of opportunities, as many that have gone before us have, as many that have stood here in this pulpit and preached, and those that have preached at New Life and at Hall Creek and Freedom and at Salem and at the many opportunities where that they have preached elsewhere outside of the church house. No, you don't have to, as a preacher, a man doesn't have to limit his preaching in church house. I preached in a barn. I preached in open air. And I've heard of others that have preached in some many different odd places. Sometimes a preacher gets testifying to somebody, whether it's in a car or in a home, a living room, whatever, and before you know it, he's preaching. But let us redeem the time. Let us give God praise for what the time that he has given us. Let us give him thanks. Paul went on to say that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, sometimes when somebody asks you something, you have to pray and you have to be like David was when the king asked him why his countenance was so bad. And it said that he prayed before he answered. It was like hurling a javelin into the court of heaven in that split second. God can direct your hearts and your minds. For those that you know, that you work with, your family members, that you have prayed and asked God to open that door of opportunity year after year after year, and you feel like as it never opens. Maybe God chooses to open it for someone else to speak to them. You pray for them, for their opportunity, as well as praying for those that are lost, that stand in need. You see, we have Jesus, our high priest, over in Hebrews in the 4th chapter. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. You see, God stands with his arms outstretched, not only unto the lost world, but unto his children. Come, counsel with me. Tell me your troubles. Tell me your blessings. Yes, he wants to hear about the things that we're thankful for. And he wants to bless us even more as we make this journey, that we might redeem the times. You see, if we fail to utilize the time that God gives us, God gave Israel a warning, and he could give us warnings, and sometimes he does that. You've had times that the still small voice of the Lord would speak to you and in a way that was a warning as well as in a way that was indirect leadership. And here he tells the children of Israel over in Jeremiah, in the 16th chapter of Jeremiah, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place your eye in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. You see, God is not always, we think of him sometimes as a God of love, and he is. But he's a God of judgment. And when I read to you some of the history that has passed the last 70 years in this part of the country, you can see that God has been pleased with the efforts. I'm sure God has been displeased with the failures, but he's been pleased with the efforts and has saved many people, reached out into the highways and the byways. Now, I mentioned Brother W.T. England coming from Red Lick. You see, Red Lick was organized back in 1855. That goes back quite a ways. And you see, it's a small place. Red Lick is a very small place. I think it's a lot smaller than even Hope, Indiana. But it's not how big a place might be. It's not how big you might think that your opportunities or how small your opportunities are. What is important is following the will of the Lord, redeeming the time that God would hear an answer. Over in Deuteronomy, he says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land you shall possess." You see, the Lord was telling them, the Israelites, how to have a positive outcome. And I encourage you to look backwards and see all of the blessings that God has given here in Indiana, but look also unto the future of what the Lord can do yet still. His arm is not short. His love has not run out. His grace has not been cut off, and His mercy is yet extended. There are those around about us walking in darkness, that need the Lord. We have friends, we have acquaintances, we have co-workers, we have family that are lost and undone. And if we all began to write a list of all of those people that we wanted just to see saved, it would be, and we combined them all together, it would be a very, very long list. Amen. God wants us to redeem the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Seek after the leadership of the Lord. Seek after His will and walk in His ways. When the Lord directs you and brings someone on your mind, it's a good time to pray for them. When He brings a subject on your heart, it's a good time to look in God's Word for understanding. When God brings to mind the blessings that He has given you, it is a good time to give Him thanks and to praise Him for those blessings that He has given and He has bestowed upon you. And when He reminds us of our failures, it is the time for us to call out unto Him for forgiveness. Let us make the journey. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think of a homecoming as a great memorial of those that are gone, that have tread this journey. But I think of it as also a great looking forward for the opportunities of what God will yet do. The doors that He will yet open. And when He opens those, will we redeem the time? Will we use that? Will we give Him the honor and glory and thank Him for what He's done? I want to close going over into Hebrews 11th chapter, 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims, that we are. Let us lift up the Lord and let's give him thanks and glory and honor and come boldly before the throne of grace that we may serve him and that many more homecomings may be able to give report of the blessings that are future to us that will be history to them. May God bless you.